Welcome to Curritals. This week, the T-shaped professional. The questions this class answers are, what is a T-shaped professional? And how can I use the concept of a T-shaped professional in my career?
Hey folks, Mark here. You're listening to a cast about career and the most effective tool I've ever learned in terms of advancing my career was learning that communication is what the listener does, which is what we teach at our Effective Communicator Conference. It's our most fun conference. It's challenging. You're going to be asked to communicate differently depending upon the behaviors of somebody right across from you in a live conversation. It'll stretch you and it'll grow you. And I hope it will be for you the same thing it was for me, the most important thing I ever learned about working with people who are different than me. So come to the website and sign up for the ECC.
Manager Tools started with a mission, with an idea that all of our casts would be evergreen. They would be timeless, not timely. And so we don't normally follow fashionable topics. We focus on the things that are basic to every career and have been basic to every career from the day careers started and will be for another 1,000 years. And so we stick with that. And T-shaped professional is a fashionable term, but the reason we're covering it is because although it's a fashionable term, it is actually a concept that's been around forever. It's a new name for an old thing. And so it fits. It's been important forever. There's a reason for that. It's because people that are T-shaped or any of the other words that we're going to use for that are more effective in the workplace. And so we're going to talk about what it is and how you can use it.
Yeah, our outline for today is very simple. We're going to describe what is a T-shaped professional and how can you use it. Now, Wendy, I had no idea what this was. When I saw the name of the cast, as I was reading the show notes, I was like, T-shaped professional? That just, huh? And then I read it, and your description in the introduction is exactly right. It's a fashionable term for a not fashionable concept. I think as we get into it, most people will probably understand and resonate with this pretty quickly. So this may not be the longest career tools cast, because I think a lot of people are going to understand and pick this up pretty quickly. But a T-shaped professional is a person with deep skills in one area. So if you're imagining a T, right, that vertical line, capital T, and of that vertical line that runs up and down, that's the depth of skills in one area. And then this person is also good at working with others or collaborating within a network or an organization, a group of people. And so the cross-discipline collaboration is represented by that horizontal bar at the top of the T, right? So according to Wikipedia, the earliest reference using this terminology is in the 1980s and 1990s. But very recently, it's become popular again.
And we'll talk about the areas in which it's become popular in a second. But before that, we'll do some history. And this concept has always been around. When I graduated, every company was looking for well-rounded graduates. That was the term. And that is not a contradiction with T-shaped. You'd think that a ball of well-roundedness and a T-shape would be contradictory. They are in geometry, I guess. But actually, what it meant was, although you had knowledge of a specialist area, you could demonstrate people skills and the ability to read financial data and work with technical people and all of the other things. That was the well-rounded part. And effectively, it's the same thing as the T-shape. It's just a different description. And the most desirable candidates were academically and technically strong, but also had the soft skills, the ability to work with others and to communicate and all of those things that we talk about. And that's why we have all of those interview questions about hobbies and outside activities. They were never an attempt to connect with candidates, which is what people used to say. There was a period where they were recommended. Sometimes you hear something, like the acronym POSH, P-O-S-H, people say it stands for port out, starboard back, and it was starboard home, and it's like the weather best where the best cabins were on big ships when liners. And actually, it's not true. It's a sort of, we had the word and then somebody made that explanation to fit. And that's kind of what happened with the questions about hobbies. We had them and then somebody made this explanation that fit the fact that they wanted to ask about hobbies and said, it's a way to connect with candidates. And for the candidates, you put your hobbies on your resume because it's a way to connect with the interviewer. And that's all rubbish. What they were originally was an attempt to see if the candidates could work with others in different backgrounds and deal with success and failure and persevere and communicate and all the soft skills. And because graduates don't have a lot of work history, especially when I went to college, it was rare to work at the same time. You might work on during the vacations, but to work and study at the same time was pretty rare. So we didn't have a lot of work experience to demonstrate that. And so they would ask us questions about other things we'd done, for instance, scouts or, you know, those kind of hobbies or
extracurriculars.
Anything where we had to go to practices and or work in a team, all of those kind of things, because they were the only way that they could find out if we had those skills. And so you only need to ask those questions if someone doesn't have a lot of work experience in order to get the examples of the soft skills that you need. And this whole connection thing came later.
Yeah. So this is one of those terms, right, I think of that goes with other similar concepts, right? Mm-hmm. Like the term well-rounded, right? Or any of the other terms that describe the same attributes, that's pretty prevalent, right? I mean, you can look back in literature dating all the way back to Aristotle. The concept of the T-shaped professional is not new. It's just a new name for something that really most people have already have always considered this type of individual as desirable, right? I mean, or this breadth and depth desirable. In fact, I would say that, you know, you could probably argue that the first manager tools cast, which was the solution to a stalled technical career, is kind of endorsing this concept.
Exactly. It's about a technical specialist who finds it difficult to work in teams because it doesn't have any soft skills.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly.
Exactly the same thing. So one reason the T-shaped professional term is suddenly everywhere is that the company PR departments, which have nothing to do with hiring or actual work, want to show that they're on top of the latest trend. And Forbes called T-shaped teams a couple of months ago, the future of work.
Oh.
So now everybody wants to say we're T-shaped, of course, because Forbes says it's food. And PR teams use it to promote the company in general, and then HR uses it to promote the company so that they get the best candidates applying, and it just spreads as a term. Another reason this term is popular is because it's been used by the agile project management movement, for want of a better word, which is another 90s baby. And here it refers to the need for cross-skilled developers and testers in an agile team. So it can mean working with other teams and cross-functional skills in that sense. It can mean soft skills, and it can also mean within a team, everybody being able to do each other's job. It depends which environment you're in, quite what that horizontal T means. But in general, it means technical depth in one area and the ability to work with others or do other things in other areas.
Yeah. And, you know, I worked in HR a little bit before coming to Manager Tools. And the talent acquisition or recruiting arm of HR, you know, they are a little bit of, there's some marketing.
Oh, it's definitely, it's a sales job.
It's absolutely a sales job. And so, I mean, as much as, you know, we kind of deride the term for being really just a new brand on an old concept. I get it, right? Maybe begrudgingly, but I get it. And I think it's important to, I mean, we're not putting down HR for wanting to be on the cutting edge and you know, using terms that align with other concepts within the organization. That all makes sense. Our point here is just to make sure that you understand when you see this, because it's now taking hold and has been for a while, that you understand when you read a job posting, what that T-shaped concept is. So when you see this, you're not caught off guard, or even better, not that you're not caught off guard, but you know exactly how to position your answers, your skills, when you're answering, you know, questions, when you're talking to recruiters or professionals in the organization. This understanding of this concept can help you or help guide you to be more effective in those interactions when you're looking to go work somewhere.
If you know the framework that somebody is using to communicate any concept, being able to communicate what you want to communicate in that framework helps you enormously with communication. Yeah. It's like, if there was a secret trick, that's one of the secret tricks.
If nothing else, Wendy, this is going to sound super reductive. If nothing else, it's just one time in the interview or in the recruitment process where you don't have to say, I'm sorry, what does that mean?
Yes, exactly. Right?
Yeah. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, because the company will use plenty of acronyms you've never heard of.
Exactly.
So it's one, yeah.
Folks, the other way you can further your career is sign up for a Manager Tools license. It's $200 a year. And for that, you get a ton of value. It used to be all you got was access to our show notes, both a year's worth of show notes going forward for Manager Tools and Career Tools, as well as access to Executive Tools, which is only available to listen to licensees, but show notes for that as well. But also show notes for the entire archive, all 18 years of Manager Tools, and I think 16 years of Career Tools, plus the interviewing series, which is a separate product, which you can buy separately, but why would you when you get it for free for only slightly more than you pay it and get a license as well? I'm told all the time by licensees, thousands of them, that it's their most important purchase of the year. So come to the website, sign up.
So one way you can use it is when you're being recruited or you're going through an interview process to understand and to communicate your skills. Another one is to model your career on that T-shaped or well-rounded or whatever term you want to use in order to increase your success. We said it's been popular since Aristotle. And I found when I was writing this class, there is an Aristotle quote, which I should have put in the show notes, about the ability of people to work in teams and to work together to find things, but as well to know about something in depth. So when I say Aristotle, there is a genuine quote, even though I haven't put it in here. So if it's been popular since then, if it's been something that people have been talking about since then, you know it's a good thing to model your career on.
Absolutely. And we've talked about this, starting from our first cast, sprinkled all throughout the years. Technical knowledge is not enough to be successful. The ability to work with others on a team, with people doing other functions within an organization, that stuff is essential. And that's not going to go away. I think organizations have tried to change their structure, get flatter, do all that stuff. You're always going to have to work with people across functions and in teams. So more technical training is not going to be the answer to, like, for instance, like we talked about with our first cast, a stalled technical career. It's building the relationships with people by communication, shaking hands, asking about people's personal lives, increasing all of those quote unquote soft interpersonal skills, right? If you're stuck in a technical career, go back to our very first podcast, and that'll help kind of frame this concept for you.
Absolutely. And communication is something we can all get better at. You know, communication is a good part of this cross-team collaboration and so on. And none of us, I think, go more than a week without having to say, I'm sorry, that's not what I meant. Or someone saying, I don't understand, and you have to say it again. And I probably say I don't go a day without saying it. And it's not just the words that we use that trip us up. It's the way we say them and our body language and our facial expressions. You know, you can say the phrase, you know, if your boss asks you, can I give you some feedback? And you go, yes. But your face says, oh, God, no, this is just one more thing today. I can't take it. Your boss can hear the word, but that also see the opposite and is going to think, well, actually, that yes was a no.
Right.
And those exactly. are the kind of things that we do every day. And those are the things that confuse other people when our words say one thing and our face says another or whatever. And if if we want to achieve success in collaboratively working with others, we have to understand how communication works and then work on communicating better with other people. And if you haven't heard us say empty disc in the last month, you've been living under a rock. No, empty disc is the way that I learned this, and it's the easiest way to get better at communicating with others, because you learn very quickly what's important to them and how they prefer to communicate. And so you just do that. And it's amazing how much easier every conversation gets.
Yeah. And, you know, this cast is not designed to be a plug for empty disc, but the brilliance of empty disc is, and maybe I'm, you know, biased because I teach people this stuff, but the brilliance of it is there are other tools out there. There are other things, other programs, other trainings about communication, and they go much deeper into, you know, personality, and there's all sorts of other things that, you know, how you were raised and, you know, all of this stuff. And empty disc is purely about behavior. It's about what people do, right? And because it breaks it down, I think, so simply, it's so much easier to actually take action.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, if you're familiar with career tools and manager tools, I mean, that's what we're all about. We want you to have information that you can take action on, right? Actionable guidance. That's what we're all about. And so if something is too complex or too convoluted, it's going to be much harder for you to let the rubber hit the road, right? And so, yeah, not that we're trying to, you know, plug empty disc, but we kind of believe in it. So
empty.
Yeah, exactly. So when you're considering training opportunities, don't plump for the interesting technical specialist opportunities. Instead, take a step back and ask, what letter am I? Or at least if you use the T-shape as a model, how would your skills map to it? Are you a strong T with a broad horizontal stroke or a slightly lopsided one? It's entirely possible that you don't have enough technical skills and your T is a little stunted, right? It's not the tallest of T's. Most of us only think about this stuff at a pivotal point in our career when we're changing jobs, instead of while we're in the job that we're in, which is when we can usually accomplish the most or make the most headway in changing the shape of that letter. It's when we're in the job that we have the chance to learn new things, not when we're in that middle ground, that area where we're transitioning.
Another way you can use that thought of the T is that broad knowledge is very helpful when trying to solve problems. So, for example, you might not have enjoyed geography class at school, but when the question is, how soon can we get the part that we need for our machine, knowing roughly where a place is helpful. And in the US, knowing roughly which of the five places that have the same name is likely to be the one with the parts factory is really helpful, because there's a lot of people in places with the same name here. And so it's a small thing, a thing that you probably would never consider, oh, I should brush up on my geography. But if one of the things you need to do is ferry parts around the country, then actually knowing where places are relative to each other is useful information. And you can add that to the horizontal bar of your T. And sometimes it's really small things, like knowing how to print on a printer that isn't the one your team normally uses. And for some reason, your team is in a war room, they're in a conference room on a different floor, and now they need to print to that printer. And knowing, you know, how the printers are coded so that you can get a print to the one that's nearest you is really helpful when people are stressed and there's a deadline and, you know, there's all sorts going on. So don't turn knowledge down. It's a bit like our guidance on building a network. Build indiscriminately. Don't worry about who it is. Just build the network, build the relationships. This is, don't turn down knowledge. It doesn't matter that you can't think of how you might need it later. Just add it to your stack, because you never know when it might come in useful.
Absolutely. And I would say all knowledge, but even knowledge from other disciplines is going to be helpful, right? In really two ways. First, if you're learning from someone in another discipline, you're right in the middle of a great opportunity to build a relationship. Your interest in something that is important to them is practically the catalyst for a relationship, mm-hmm. right? So you have a brilliant opportunity there to take advantage of talking to them about stuff that they're at least have a vested interest in.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. And then secondly, you can bring that knowledge back and apply it to your discipline. Another opportunity to share information and even build relationships among your team, right? Sharing, hey, here's what I learned. This is what I'm not a silo of information. Mm-hmm. I want to share this information. And that's one of the reasons that Agile has become really the project management process du jour, is because it's applied to so much more than just software development. I mean, you can apply the process, the framework, to any project, really.
And people have been, so. And, yeah, and exactly. You know, somebody somewhere, because Agile started in software development, you can imagine somebody somewhere, the software team implemented it, and the sales department that was feeding information into that team, or the customers, or someone who was outside of that team said, hey, their project thing is working really well. I wonder if we can try it. And that's applying something from one discipline into another. And look where we got to. Now everybody's agile.
Exactly.
So the T-shaped professional, if your skills are deep in one area and broad across a bunch of areas, or you're able to collaborate, whichever one seems most important in your role, is a desirable model for a career. Those people are more likely to get better opportunities. They're more likely to get promoted. They're more likely to have interesting things to do because they can apply their skills to more things.
I would even argue, Winnie, they're also in a way more likely to be included in things because mm-hmm. they have that knowledge. But also, if they don't know the information, just like what we just talked about, maybe they know someone there, right? They yeah. have a connection there, right? So that broadness also opens the door for opportunities.
So anyone with a deep technical knowledge, the ability to work well in a team, with strong relationships and an orientation towards results, almost can't help but be successful. And that's one of the definitions of a T-shaped professional. So when you see it out there, you will now know what it is. And when you're thinking about your own career, you can think about some of the suggestions we made and use those to become more successful in the future.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.